Well, how many of you know that God truly does want each and every one of us to stay in the heavenlies? Yes. You know, I hope that nobody loses what they have received so far during this revival. I just hope and pray that you keep it all and just keep increasing. Because today as I was studying, God really impressed upon me. He really does want us to live in the supernatural. He does not want us to be the same as what we were when we started in this revival. And only you can keep that anointing. Only you can keep it. And somebody can't steal it away from you unless you let them. When the devil comes and tries to steal what you've received, just say, that's mine. My pea field, right? You're not stealing what I've received from the Lord. And just grab hold of what you have and keep it. I don't know if the enemy's going to try to steal what you have, or I don't know if some of you just aren't receiving what you're getting, but God really impressed upon me that he doesn't want you to lose anything. And tonight I'm going to teach on the open heaven above us. Teach you how to open the windows of heaven. I want you to really listen really closely to what you're reading up there on the screen. And I want you to let it penetrate your spirit. And I want you to understand what God is saying to you. We are living so short of what God really wants us to live. We haven't even tapped into just the tiniest thing that God would have us to do. And you know, with all the anointing we've been sending under all these days, now I can't believe that anybody would get offended. I can't believe anybody would walk in strife. I just can't believe you could do that with all the anointing that you've been walking under. But it happens day in and day out. I've told you, everybody's coming here for this revival. I told you, God is preparing you to be a glory carrier. Now, and I also told you, you're being tested during this time too. I told you that whatever was in you that was weak, God was bringing it to the surface so you could get rid of it. So, you know, if there's things, offense is a dark thing, right? So if that has reared its ugly head, then you've got that in you. And you have to get rid of it. Remember, that's a wound in your soul. And you're going to have to get rid of it. I was thinking yesterday, I think we need to go through the Katie Sozo tape again. Because I don't think Craig grabs a hold of that thing. Because I see too many things that I shouldn't be seeing after what we were taught. I'm going to give you a great big quiz after this revival's over. And just see if you pass it or not. Amen. Yeah, when you're in college, especially, you in high school, you sort of whiz along. But in college, you really have to pay close attention because that big quiz is coming at the end of the course, right? And if you're not paying close attention, you're going to fail the course and have to take it over again. Now, you've got to think to yourself, if I took a test right now, would I fail the course? And would I have to take it over again? Amen? All right, Father God, I just thank you tonight. And I don't know what you're doing here, Father God, because I don't really know what you're doing. But Father God, you know exactly what you're going to do here tonight. So Father, we just open up our hearts to you tonight. And we just say, go ahead, Lord, do whatever you have to do to get our attention, smack us on the head, whatever. But Father God, just get our attention. So tonight we leave here that we know that we sit in your presence. And Father, your angelic host is here. Let them minister to your people's needs. And Father, we just hold Mary still up before you tonight, Lord. And Father God, please give her that miracle that she needs. And Father, we just thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, let's talk about open heavens. An open heaven is the inheritance of every Christian believer, everybody in this room. An open heaven is a state where there are no barriers between the earthly realm and the heavenly realm. The throne of God and all the resources of heaven. These resources include the Holy Spirit, salvation, provision, and blessing, miraculous intervention and angelic help in answer to prayer. Now, are we living in that? That's what an open heaven is, all right? We as the body of Christ have far more might than we realize. We have not yet reached the potential that we have in Christ. We have not. We can penetrate heaven with our prayers and see the power of God released. You know, if you're fussing about the lack you have, I was reading, I forgot what this prophet's name is. She's a big prophet. And she was sharing today in her prophetic word that January the 3rd, I think it was, her and her husband and daughter had a horrific car accident. And she really got messed up really bad. And the doctors told her at her last visit that she would never be the same as she was because everything was compacted, you know, when the crash happened. And so she's living in severe, excruciating pain. Now, this is a prophet of God. Her and her husband have a church and everything. And this is what she's living right now since January the 3rd. And then 2 weeks after they had their terrible car accident, another prophet had a terrible car accident in January. And she also is living in excruciating pain. Now, these are prophets who have been given these big prophetic words, how God's going to do all these wonderful things in this year. But look what they're going. And she's not complaining. She ain't complaining one bit because she knows through it all, God is going to get the glory. But I just, as I read that today, I thought, you know, you people sit in here and you fuss because somebody looks at you cross-eyed. Or somebody says something to you you don't like. But here's these people, these two well-known prophets who have been in these horrific automobile accidents. You know, and they're just going around telling you how wonderful God is and how he protects you and everything else. And here they are and they're laid up. And she was told she had to cancel all of her stuff for January and February. And that's their income. Yeah. And so the month of January and February, she just can't go anywhere and do anything. But in all of this, God has made a way. He's miraculously, you know, the money's come in to support them. Somebody called and said, you know, God told us 2 days ago, 2 days before their accident, to give you this SUV that we have. And the SUV that they got from those people was far better than the one that they lost in the wreck. And God has been supplying every bit of their needs. I would say they lived under an open heaven, even though they had the car accident. God is sending monies in, a new car, and I forgot what all it was, but it was a fantastic, you know, article that she wrote about herself and her family. So, guys, you know, quit. Just quit. All right, where was that here? We're talking about how to open the windows of heaven. Our access to God grants us enormous privileges. Our access, all right? The church literally can tear the heavens open and summon the power of God. We can petition him and cause heaven to react to what we pray. God's word says that supernatural acts are available from a supernatural God to a certain kind of people. The people who will love him. God is willing to give unlimited favor and miracles. To people who love him, God is willing to give unlimited favor and miracles. You know, God has been telling us for years and years, you have to have a foundation of love. If you don't have the foundation of love, if you don't love him first, then nothing else is going to ever prosper. So, you know, if you don't love the God, you're just in the church just because, then you've got a big problem. God can't bless you the way he wants to. Why can't you love the Father? Yeah, if you can't, ask yourself, why can't I love him? There's a reason why you can't, so why don't you just go ahead and talk to God about it, let him tell you what it's all about, and then get it together. Just get over it. You know what I mean? Talk to God and have God get rid of it for you. Now, Paul the Apostle wrote, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ," Ephesians 1:3. If the blessings of God are in the heavenly realms, how do we bring them down? Isaiah prayed in Isaiah 64:1, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down." How many of us pray that way? I don't. I haven't, but I am now. All right. "Oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down." Isaiah 64:1-3 says, in the Message Bible. Oh, that you would rip open the heavens and descend, make the mountains shudder at your presence, as when a forest catches fire, as when fire makes a pot to boil, to shock our enemies into facing you, make the nations shake in their boots. You did terrible things we never expected, descended and made the mountains shudder at your presence. You know, if we knew how to open up the heavens, the enemy would not be plaguing us. Isn't that what that just said? He was asking God to tear open the heavens and come down and manifest himself in two very specific ways. Number one, to make himself known to the enemy in aggressive, destructive action. Next time he attacks you, say, devil, I mean, Satan, Father, come down here and show this devil who you are. Tear him up. Amen? Instead, we're tearing up the people the devil works through, aren't we? Come on. Then Isaiah 64:7-9, the Message Bible says, no one prays to you or makes the effort to reach out to you because you've turned away from us, left us to stew in our sins. He was talking to God. Still, God, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you're our potter. All of us are what you made us. Yeah, isn't that awesome? We need to understand we are what God made us. Don't be too angry with us, O God. Don't keep a permanent account of wrongdoing. Keep in mind, please, we are your people, all of us. So what he's praying here, the second thing is, and to come in mercy and love to his people. You know, Isaiah wants God to come in mercy and love to him, but he wants to come down here in a destructive mode to tear up the enemy, which is, that's okay. All right. Now, to rend means to tear, to rip to pieces, to part. We can stimulate the heart of God to open the windows of heaven for blessing in our lives. We can touch heaven. Guys, I studied this all night last night. From the time I went home, I studied till 4 o'clock this morning, up early this morning, was studying all day. And God has impressed upon me, we have the ability, we have the resources to tear, rend the heavens to open above us. And God told me a couple years ago, I'm standing right there, he said, daughter, you're now walking under an open heaven. And so, but I have not tapped into the resources because I didn't understand how to. This is why this is so important. You need to understand tonight how to tap into the resources in the heavenly places. You need to understand how to pull them down to earth. None of us in here sitting in here tonight should ever be walking as a beggar. Because we have a Father in heaven who has a storehouse and is full of everything we need. And if we could learn how to tap into that, we won't ever have a need. Amen. He has everything in us. This is what he told me. I have everything that you need in my storehouse, but they aren't asking me for it. You might be asking and wondering, is it going to happen? You can't wonder if it's going to happen. You have to ask and believe that God is going to give you what you're asking for. In every book of the Bible, we see God's power manifested in the lives of his people. King David was a warrior trained by God to protect his people and to mete out justice to the enemies of God. In Psalm 144:5, he called upon God to part the heavens and come down because there was cause for supernatural action. In Psalm 144:5-9, in the Message Bible says, step down out of heaven, God. Ignite volcanoes in the hearts of the mountains. Hurl your lightnings in every direction. Shoot your arrows this way and that. Reach all the way from sky to sea. Pull me out of the ocean of hate, out of the grip of those barbarians who lie through their teeth and who shake your hand, then knife you in the back. Oh God, let me sing a new song to you. Let me play it on a 12-string guitar. Then the rest of it, he's playing this new song. So why don't we pray like this? He says that the battle is not ours, but it's his. He says that he has the angels there waiting for you to pray to. He can send the angels down to fight your battle for you. So why are we fighting all these battles? Do we not believe the word? Now, God is training you up to be glory carriers. Now, either when this is all done, you've either failed the test or passed the test. And it's up to you to listen to what you're being taught and then to receive it into your spirit, man, and keep it there. And don't let the enemy steal it from you. In the New Testament, we read that when Christ came out of the water, the heavens opened up, right? The Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove, and Jesus became empowered. Now, Matthew 3:16 says, "Then Jesus, when he had been baptized, came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" So Jesus began his public ministry in submission to the baptism of John the Baptist. His humble obedience burst open the heavens, and he was anointed to preach the good news, to heal the brokenhearted, set the captives free, and drive out demons in Luke 4:18. And from that day on, he was no ordinary man. He was God manifesting himself in man under an open heaven. We can have the very same thing that Jesus had. You have to get this in your spirit. Jesus was normal just like you are. I know he was the Son of God, but when he came down here as a man. And he had like passions just like you and I do. So quit saying like I used to say, well, he was the Son of God. Yes, he was, but we're children of God. And God wants us to have the very same anointing that he had. I was looking here for some, I wanted to comment on something I just said. Okay, so I said, in the New Testament, we read that when Christ came out of the water, the heavens opened up, the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove, and Jesus became empowered. Now, how many of you in here profess to have the Holy Spirit? You know? So then if you have the Holy Spirit, then you're empowered just like Jesus was. Are you listening? And we've baptized people. We've seen them come up out of that water, you know, just speaking in tongues, out in the Spirit, in the water. And we've actually seen the glory of God come on them. So all that happened just like it did Jesus. And why aren't we being just like Jesus? Why aren't we walking under an open heaven? It's because we're ignorant of the things of God. I just heard that, so I thought I'd say that. That sounded good to me. Amen. Come on. So tonight, I don't want you any longer to be ignorant of the things of God. I want you to understand you have the same power, the same authority that Jesus Christ has. It tells us that in the Word. And I want you to start using that same power and that same authority to rend the heavens and have the heavens open up over you and have God manifest himself and take care of the things that you need taken care of. All right, so then we're talking about Jesus here, getting baptized. Through a lifestyle of prayer and humble obedience, you can rend the heavens also. Let's just stop there. When I said through a lifestyle of prayer and humble obedience, I was sitting here the night and God said, "Daughter, do you know why my son went away to the mountains all the time to pray with me?" And I said, "I guess to get more power." He said, "Yes," but he said, a lot of times he came because he was hurt. He was wounded from all the rejection and bitterness and accusations hurled against him. And so he came to me so I could comfort him. Come on. And see, as Jesus went to his Father to be comforted, then he gave the Father that junk. And then he could come back down off that mountain empowered again to do the great and mighty works that God would have him to do. But see, we don't do that. We get offended, and then we sort of, under our breath, curse the person that offended us. And then we have to tell somebody else, "I'm offended." And, you know, and then there's no power. There's no power. Are you understanding this tonight? This is important that you get this into your spirit tonight. It really is. Last night we had favor? All right, then the night before we crossed over the threshold of righteousness. Now tonight God's telling us that we have to, God is orchestrating each one of these messages. Tonight he's teaching us how to open up the heavens so we walk under an open heaven. All right? All right, so I said, through our lifestyle, prayer, and humble obedience, you can rend the heavens. Then the Holy Spirit can impart His anointing for your service unto God. Through a lifestyle of prayer and humble obedience. See, humble obedience is the key here. You can pray to your blue in the face, but if you do not have obedience to things God's calling you to do, it's not going to do you any good. So you can rend the heavens. Then, if you do that, the Holy Spirit can impart His anointing for your service unto God. Isaiah 64:4 states that no one has ever seen nor ear perceived what God will do for the one who waits on Him. In the upper room, the 120 waited for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You find that next, too. This kind of waiting is not passive. It is serving with expectancy and patience, ministering to God in worship and prayer, and knowing that He will act on your behalf. Knowing that He will act on your behalf. Too many people go into a prayer closet wondering, what if? Is He really? Do you really hear? Is it going to happen? It's going to happen in God's timing. And if you can believe, God's told me, He said, the reason why you don't receive is because you don't really believe. You have to believe so you can receive. And there can't have any doubt in between believe and receive. While the disciples waited there praying, they weren't sitting up there twiddling their thumbs and wondering what was going to happen. While the disciples waited there praying, suddenly they heard a violent wind. The heavens parted and fire came into the room. What parted? The heavens. There was a manifestation of the presence of God, and everyone was empowered. When you are in one place, in one accord, God will provide a corporate blessing that everyone will receive. When you're in one place, in one accord, God will provide a corporate blessing that everyone will receive. You know, there's some people you don't need in your midst because they're not in one accord with you. They're not trying to help God get His ministry going. They're in there trying to get their own ministry going. And if their own ministry isn't prospering, then they're not going to help anybody else do theirs either. Are you listening here? God wants an open heaven in our lives. Get that in your spirit right now. God wants an open heaven in your life. He will rend the skies over our churches if everyone in each place is in one accord, praying to Him and seeking His glory. See, everybody in here should be seeking God's glory for this revival. That's what we're here for, so God can pour down His glory. Amen? The coming of His kingdom. All right, so whenever God told me to start this revival, God said, this is not a revival of deliverance. He didn't want any deliverances done in this revival. He said, this is a revival that I'm getting my people ready to go in and do the things for my kingdom that needs to be done. It didn't mean that later on we couldn't schedule somebody for deliverance, but no deliverance was supposed to be ever done during this revival. If a demon manifested, make it go back. You don't work with it. Because then it breaks the anointing. Because God has brought a special anointing into this revival. Whether you know it or not, there's a special anointing in this revival to do a special work. See, God has the anointings to do different things. Whenever you're delivering somebody, you know, in a deliverance setting, then there's an anointing to do that deliverance. This anointing here is to change and rearrange us so that we are vessels of honor that He can work through. Do you understand that? Quit trying to bring your own agenda into God's services. There's many things I like to do, but I don't do because it's not what God wants to do. See, you're not walking in the Spirit. You're not, or you would know what to do and when to do and how to do it. All right? I lost my place. Jesus said we should pray for the kingdom of God to come and for His will to be done in our lives as it is in heaven. And I noticed you had a thing up on the board there tonight that said, if Jesus said that, then I think it said, why shouldn't we be doing that or something like that? I can't remember how it was worded. But I thought that's a good thing to put up there. Because why did Jesus tell us to pray that if it couldn't happen? That's what it was. Why did Jesus tell us to pray it if it wasn't going to happen? So what did it say? Jesus said we should pray for the kingdom of God to come and for his will to be done in our lives as it is in heaven. And then whoever said that, it said anonymous, if that isn't going to happen, then why did God tell us to do that? Hello? See, when he speaks, he means what he says. He's not like you and I. We just speak shallow words. But when God speaks a word, there is power in that word. And it will take root and it will happen. Whenever there is something in your life that you know is not the manifestation of the heavenly will of God, then you, like David, have a cause to rend the heavens. Nobody, you took the person home. You can turn the sound on in that room back there now. Did you ever turn it off? Can you turn it on back there? Or do you have to go in the back room? Oh, well, I messed up. All right, let's read that again. Whenever there is something in your life that you know is not the manifestation of the heavenly will of God, then you, like David, have a cause to rend the heavens. We have to go back and read that scripture where he said, come down the lightning and the volcano and everything else and tear the devil up, right? Yeah. Come on. In heaven, there is no lack, no poverty, no sickness, no defeat, no fear, no strife, no failure. There's none of that in heaven. There is no depression or backbiting or lying or treachery. None of that is in heaven. Amen? So any of that happens, that's the enemy. And we have to rend the heavens and ask God to come down and take care of that enemy. As we pray in one place, under one anointing, for the purpose of glorifying God, he will rip the heavens again and release his presence and his power. Every one of us will be filled with the power of God as the disciples were in the book of Acts. We will. Because God's word promises us that. You need to get this tonight because God expects you to be walking under an open heaven after tonight. Amen. The disciples were never the same after they experienced the heavens opening. So that's why I know you don't walk under an open heaven because I don't see you being changed. You're still the same. Now, I don't mean same old, but you know, you're still not walking where you should be because you're not walking under an open heaven. They became fearless before God and the world. Powerful miracles started to happen. Hello? Powerful miracles started to happen. God will rend the heavens again. He is going to loose upon us his end time power. He is preparing his church for a miraculous, dynamic visitation. Everyone who desires it will receive a latter rain anointing. So every time you came up here during this revival, you really wanted it, then you received whatever God told you, he was giving out that night. And you'll find out as you walk out your walk with God, these things will just automatically be happening because they're in you. And the anointing, he always anointed it, so the anointing's with it. And now you'll be able to carry it out to and use it. All right? God is going to do mighty things that we have never seen, imagined, or heard. God is going to shine through us as never before. Don't grow weary in well-doing, saints. God is going to do exactly what he said he's going to do. He is going to make the people of the earth jealous, and they will want our God. Romans 11:11. You know, I've been crying out, God, I need helpers in here. I need workers in here. God, I just really need you to send me in workers. And finally, somebody walked up to me last night and said, I can see where you need help in this church. I said, well, praise God. Somebody finally saw that. Somebody God has moved into here. Amen. And they want to work. They want to do a work for God. And the night before, God gave me a vision of what they were doing, and I forgot the vision. I didn't write it down. He wants a people who will love, serve, and obey him. He wants to stabilize and establish us. The church must grow up because God wants a people who are responsible under the anointing. Let's read that again. He wants a people who will love, serve, and obey him. He wants to stabilize and establish us. The church must grow up because God wants a people who are responsible under the anointing. That's why I told somebody tonight, don't go down. Learn to control yourself. I had to teach the sister Nancy. I said, Nancy, you got the anointing. You have to learn to control it so you can operate under the anointing. You know, I have to lock my knees so I can walk under the anointing. You're not doing anybody good if you're on the floor flipping-flopping around and laughing. You have to be able to carry the anointing. It's all right if you're not the one that's doing the ministering to go, you know, go out in the spirit. But if you're the one doing the ministering, you have to be able to stand and do the ministering. Amen. Now you could be like Heidi Baker. When she preaches, she gets so caught up in the spirit, she falls on the floor and kicks her feet up in the air, but she still preaches the gospel. And then in the end of preaching, she'll get up and she'll minister to people, but then she's on her feet. It's all right for her laying on her back doing the preaching. Amen. Come on, see, what did it say here? The church must grow up because God wants a people who are responsible under the anointing. God told me that he doesn't have a man in this church that he can trust. Come on. A new revelation. Paul, in writing to the church of Corinth, was speaking to an audience of people who lived in a culture characterized by a passionate search for wisdom and supernatural power. Yet, with all the shrines in Greece, all the men of great learning, all the creativity manifested there, Paul was able to say in 1 Corinthians 2:9, I has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him, that God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. See, this is why God says, return to your first love. Somewhere along the line, you let that love seep out. And then you became powerless. So then God, he even told me a couple years ago, 6 years ago, daughter, you've got to return back to your first love. Because all the junk that was going on in my life, I didn't realize that love was seeping out. And I was starting to look at my circumstances a whole lot and not keeping my eyes upon Christ. So if God tells you to return back to your first love, then you better do that. How do you do that? You just go back and love on him. You just take your eyes off your circumstances and you keep your eyes on God. The circumstances never disappear, but God is always in front of you, and you have to keep your eyes on him. Amen. God's saying there's too much negativity in his house. He's telling me right now, you people, you know, God's people are always looking at the negative and never looking at the positive, which is him. They are not keeping their eyes upon him. They're keeping their eyes upon the problem, and therefore the problem is never rectified because you don't untie his hands. Amen. Paul reiterated what the prophet Isaiah had already said in Isaiah 64:4, but he also explained that God was willing to reveal these things by the power of the Holy Spirit who is inside of us. Where's he at? Inside of you. Paul was saying that the Old Testament saints experienced just a shadow of what was available. And that's all we're doing right now, too. We're just experiencing a shadow of what is available through the kingdom of heaven. But that God was going to bring us into a place where we could receive the fullness of his blessings. We're there. He's training us through these 14 days of revival. But are we going to receive it all and keep it all, retain it? Are we going to be a vessel that God can work through? We can open the windows of heaven so that the blessings of the latter rain anointing of God will fall upon his church and his people. You know, people say, I've seen angels all through this room. Whoop. I don't see the angels performing a miracle. You can see all the angels you want to see, but unless you are at a place in your walk with God that you can receive it, nothing is going to happen. The angels are here, and they are willing to work, but are we in a position where we're allowing them to work? Just think about that, because that all came from God. Isn't that wise? Amen. We have moved into a realm where the supernatural acts of God will no longer be seen as myths, but will be experiential. Now, you know, I listened to that prophetic word God gave us last night. You know, you sent it to me. I sat there and cried. God was weeping and begging us to believe him. I thought, this is sad that God has to beg us, especially all the anointing we sat under and all the great and mighty things that he gives us and all the wisdom he gives us. He had to beg us to believe him. That's horrible. The Holy Spirit is bringing us into a new revelation. What Isaiah couldn't perceive, God is now revealing to us. Paul told us that such revelation is available to a people who love God. You're going to hear that from now to eternity. You have to love God. Isaiah said it is available to people who wait on him. So your 4-hour prayer wasn't wasted. You were sitting before the Lord. Isaiah said it is available to people who wait on him. Maybe he was getting you prepared for tonight. This means serving him and practicing his presence. All right, Isaiah said it's available to people who wait on him, and waiting on him means serving him and practicing his presence. If you are part of the church of Jesus Christ and you are not serving him, then you are not waiting on him. Well, you know, when I first got born again, I heard that I could do all these wonderful things through God, you know. And so I started believing in miracles, and they happened. And you know, and I started believing in raising the dead. It happened. Everything I read, I believed, and it happened. Are you listening? I read you could cast out devils, and we did it, and it happened. It still should be happening. You know what I'm saying? But somewhere along the line, I left my first love. I listened to the voice of man. And these preachers around here kept saying, you can't do that. You're the devil. You better quit. You can't do it. You can't do it. When I prayed for people, you know, God, are you really going to do this thing? See, that was doubt. It wasn't going to work. You can't do that. You have to know that you know. And I'm back to knowing that I know that I know that I know that if I pray it, it's going to happen. Come on. If you can raise a dead dog, you can raise anything. I can raise you dead people too. Amen. You might be sitting here. You might be breathing, but some of you are dead. Come on. We can breathe life into dead people. And I'm talking about live dead people. And you do that by you being so full of the anointing of God that whenever you speak to them, it has to do something. You know what really bothers me? When we have a prayer line and we're telling people to receive and they won't, it knocks you down. You know, take this stuff. I don't need it. I keep getting filled up again. Why won't you receive this anointing that God's trying to give to you? And it comes back to us and about knocks us down. We're stumbling all over ourselves trying to stay up. Sometimes I've been praying for people and they won't receive, and I'm saying to myself, God, knock them down. And we both go down, you know. Why are you standing there like that when this anointing's there to destroy that yoke that's keeping you bound, right? Come on. You'd be surprised what I say to myself sometimes when I'm praying over you. And you're standing there like a log, and I'm thinking, I'd like to pop you really good. I'm serious. Because I know what my God's wanting to do to you. And you're sitting there saying, well, just see if he can do that. Well, you know, I like to slap you at that point. And Sister Nancy Willis Reverend Nancy Willis had the nerve to tell me when she first started, she said, the place was always packed out. The anointing was so strong. And you'd have these prayer lines and you just walk by and they go out in the spirit. But I would lock my knees and say, I'm not going down. I said, well, did you? She said, no, I didn't go down. Finally, I gave in and she said, I went down. And I thought, well, there's nothing going on down here. But finally, God got a hold of her. Yeah. I'm not totally crazy, just 3/4. And where are we at? The blessings? All right, the blessings of God are in heavenly places. The blessings of God are in heavenly places. How do we connect with them? It's the divine connection. Revelation 5:8 tells us that in heaven, the prayers of the saints are collected in golden bowls by angels. There is loud praise as the voices of thousands upon thousands worship the Lamb of God. You find that in Revelation 5, 8, 11, and 12. When we add our praise to that of heaven, because we're already praising up there, and we start praising down here, and our prayers have been collected, presented before Jesus, and covered in his blood, then the saints and angels join with us. See that? And together we see the opening of the heavens as God begins to release power, wealth, strength, and miracles. We have authority in heaven because of the blood of Lord Jesus. And I want to stop there. You know, if every one of you old timers, whenever we get to praise and worship, if you'd really praise and worship, instead of sitting there looking around saying, well, I wonder what everybody else is doing. You're an old timer. You shouldn't be worried about what somebody else is doing. We would all be dancing like Sister Gwen was tonight. Just not Sister Gwen. I'm thinking, well, Lord, you touched somebody's feet anyhow. Come on. Instead, we're sinner, we're so holy. You know. See, it's not coming from our spirit, man. It's coming from our lips. Because God told me it always comes from their mouth and never from their spirit, man. Come on. I'm always glad to hear a new voice behind me saying, hallelujah! I said, praise the Lord. Because you know? The old timer's sitting here. Just, I don't know what they're waiting on. What do we read? We read every time that we say amen, an angel comes down. See, I had to tell you that for you. I preached that one time. See? Come on. I really want you to get this tonight because I don't know what's going to happen if you don't. All right, we have authority in heaven because of the blood of the Lord Jesus. Let's go up to the next paragraph where it says, together we see. Together we see the opening of the heavens as God begins to release power, wealth, which you all need, strength, and miracles. We have authority in heaven because of the blood of the Lord Jesus. Why do you think Jesus died for us, you people? Sorry. And God told me a couple years ago, daughter, never, ever, ever forget the blood. There's so much power in the blood, he told me. So I'm constantly using the blood, and it works. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Okay, say it's. That's all I ever hear. I never say, anybody hear too many people say, in the blood of Jesus. I never hear you saying, I plead the blood of Jesus. Well, you know, as a constant thing, I plead the blood of Jesus. And one time God said, wrap them in a blanket of blood. He said, that seals them really good. So I wrap everybody in a blanket of blood. Amen. And when they asked, God, I want to see it. I want so much blood in that blanket that's oozing out. And I saw it. I was wrapping somebody that was really in danger. So, you know, you have to use the tools that God has given us to do see the miracles happen. How many saw that door open last night? Wasn't it awesome? I said, wow, there you stand. There's your clouds. There's your glory. He's saying, come on in. Amen. Why didn't the rest of you see it? Don't you love God enough? Are you not walking in the Spirit enough? Are you bringing too many of your troubles into the house of God, not leaving them outside? I don't know. Amen. Come on. I know why you young girls don't see it. You're too anxious to get upstairs and play. And you know, if you quit worrying about being upstairs and playing and just wanting God to bless you, you'd be surprised what it'll do to you. I've lost my place. If you have a need and you really mean business, you must call on the Lord in prayer and praise. God has in store for his people more than we could ever ask or think. But as brilliant and as perceptive as we are, we cannot see into the supernatural with a natural mind. I get so sick and tired of hearing people trying to talk, you know, through, well, they're trying to convince me that God isn't real. I hate that. You're wasting your time, so don't even bother. I know he's, so what if I die and he's not there? I don't care. I've had a good time believing he was anyhow. You know, because somebody said, what if you die and you find out he wasn't there? I said, I don't care. I'm not a sex maniac and I'm out there doing drugs and smoking cigarettes and being an alcoholic. I'm enjoying life. So you don't believe Jesus there, but look at your life. And then what's going to happen if you end up in hell? You're going to find out your God wasn't all that and then some, was he? Look what he did to you. We need to know the principles of God because there are blessings prepared for us that we have not yet tapped into. We need to know the principles of God because there are blessings prepared for us that we have not yet tapped into. Starting right now, begin to fill up the bowls with your prayers. Remember the angels in the bowls? Angels are waiting to gather your requests. Give them something to take before the chief intercessor, which is Jesus. You know, I think it's wonderful that he left his wonderful throne in heaven, came down here, lived 33 years, went through all the torture and hell he went through, hung on a cross for a bunch of people who don't believe in him. Because people do believe the cross is dumb. That's why I said dumb first. They believe it doesn't exist. They believe it was just a senseless thing. But Jesus did that for you and I. And then after he went through all that, he goes to heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for people who don't believe in him. Oh, come on. Don't tell me he's not real. I've lost my place again. Jesus will look down knowing he died for all these things and intercede before the Father. You know, Jesus is a wonderful person because, you know, he watches people that he died for down here working for the devil full time, trampled all over his blood. But yet he's sitting up there interceding for them. Believing that one, saying to the Father, please don't take him right now. Just give him one more chance. Just give him one more chance. Just give him one more chance. That's what he's up there doing for you and I. I'm quite sure many times he said, Father, don't touch that. She's just being dumb right now. Amen? Don't strike her dead. She doesn't understand what she's doing right now. She lost her mind for a second. Amen? I know he's interceding for me. I don't care if you know it or not. He's interceding for you. Or you'd be dead by now. You know God in his wrath. Okay, Jesus will look down knowing he died for all these things and intercede before the Father. And when you begin to praise him, you will make a divine connection. The heavens will burst open and angels will descend to war on your behalf. I don't know how many daily words that God has given me that says, praise me, just praise me. He keeps saying, just praise me. So here, and when you begin to praise him, you will make a divine connection. See that? The heavens will burst open and angels will descend to war on your behalf. When you know there is a cause for supernatural intervention and you begin to do down here what they are doing up there, we're talking about heaven, you free the Lord's hand to open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that you cannot contain. All right, so when God allowed me to raise those three dead people and that dead dog, you know, I read in the Word where he raised dead people. So I did it too. That was what was being done in heaven. And so it could be done here and there too, according to his Word, right? Come on. It is the privilege of sons and daughters to feast at the Father's table. For 450 years, Israel lived in slavery in Egypt. Now, God was teaching the nation a different way of living, a life of faith. How Israel lived under an open heaven. Psalm 78:23 says, yet he gave a command to the skies above and opened the doors of the heavens. He rained down manna for the people to eat. He gave them the grain of heaven. So, all right, so God opened the door last night. When we entered in, the heavens opened above us. Wow. Isn't that awesome? It's right in the Word. Psalm 78:23. Yet he gave a command to the skies above and opened the doors of the heavens. He rained down manna for the people to eat. He gave them the grain of heaven. So God gave us last night, the ones that walked through that door, whether you saw the door or not, you do things by faith sometimes. But God had just moved upon me. He's let me see what I say right now. Well, he does that. Amen. But it doesn't matter if you see it or not. You know, Barbara keeps telling us there's a portal right there. I don't see the portal. I keep looking for it, but I don't see it. But she saw it. So I believe it's there because she saw it. It does. You know, she keeps saying this keeps widening. So it doesn't matter if I see it or not. I walk by faith. Amen. Where am I at here, Brad? Oh, the Bible tells us that God opened heaven to provide miraculous provision to the nation of Israel during its wilderness wanderings. So how do you think God's going to take care of us when all this gross darkness hits and there won't be any food or anything? But God said those who are walking close to him, he'll provide for. He's going to open up the heavens and he's going to pour out whatever we have need of. You're going to have to start believing this now or you're not going to get it at all. Come on. You poor guys back there that just got zapped real good tonight. You say, what is she talking about? You'll get it. I promise you, you will. But God's supernatural supply of their needs did not stop there. The wilderness manna was a sign of what was to come. What God did with us last night is what is to come, is a sign of what's to come. Israel's destiny was to live in Canaan and continue a lifestyle of faith dependent upon God for heaven-sent rain. Well, you know, I have to get a job that pays me more money because after all, I can't live on what I have. Why aren't you, your job you have is fine. Why don't you depend on God to rain, open up the heavens and give you the rest that you need? The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. That's Deuteronomy 28:12. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. He said he has a storehouse, has everything you need, but we don't ask for it. Will you please ask for that, whatever that there thing you're supposed to have? Will you please ask for that? All that money, whoever that guy was, that billionaire, whatever he was. I'd like to share some of that with you. Everything that is recorded in the Bible about Israel's history is for our benefit and instruction. 1 Corinthians 10:11 said, I'll help spend it, won't I? I could spend really well. 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, now all these things happened to them, the Israelite children, as examples, and they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come. It said, let us see God. See, this is the first time God's had me preach this. God wants us to know now is our season to walk under an open heaven. Amen. The nation of Israel had to learn how to live by the provision of an open heaven, and so can we. See, that's our problem. We always have to do it ourselves. The nation of Israel had to learn how to live by the provision of an open heaven, and so can we. Here are some principles we can learn from Israel's history. How to position for an open heaven. Number one, understand the heart of the Father. We need to understand God's motivation in Israel's history and for us today. He isn't looking for dependent servants. He is seeking relationship. He desires sons and daughters. Oh, well, look here. I can use that girl because, or that guy because they have a high school, college education. You know, they're really, really speak real well. And no, he's not looking for none of that. So you guys that got born again and you say, well, I'm nothing. You're everything that God's looking for. Because you know what? The church thinks they are something and they're depending on themselves and not on God. He wants people who don't have anything to depend on except God. Hosea 11:1-4 says, when Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. To them, I was like one who lifts a little child to their cheek and I bent down to feed them. See what he says? Like a little child. He said, you need to come to him there like little children. The manna, the rain, were a revelation, not a provision, but of a provider, a loving father. You know, as I read all about this rain, I said, God, this is such a powerful revival we're in. You're showing us that you want to provide us for every one of our needs. And he wants to rain it down from heaven, according to all these scriptures. Our number two is intimacy and obedience. The nation of Israel was in the right place at the right time for a miracle. We're in the right place at the right time for a miracle during this revival. We really are. And the reason that Israel was positioned for a heavenly miracle of provision was because one man, Moses, had an intimate relationship with God. Come on, one man. Having heard God's voice, Moses was able to lead Israel in obedience to him. Later, Moses left written instructions so that Israel could continue to live in obedience and reap the heavenly blessings. It makes me so mad as a leader of this church when I tell you I've heard God's voice and this is what we're going to do. Somebody comes and try to rearrange it to fit man's agenda. You don't give us enough time. You do this and you do, I said, I don't care. You're going to have to just make it happen because God said he wants it and he wants it done at this time in this time frame. Well, you know, I can't get off work. I don't care. You don't have to get off of work. This is what we're going to do. You can just go ahead and go to work. You know what I'm saying? I don't care. We have to do what God says or we aren't going to be blessed. And I do hear God's voice and I do make sure you guys get things done. I don't care if you don't get any sleep, you know, because God needs it done because he wants to do a special thing at a special time. And we have to stay in God's time frame. And when we start changing things that God told us, then we get in trouble. Remember God told me about the deliverance. We're supposed to be called what? School of exorcism. Well, people, oh, we can't put exorcism out there after all that. So I changed it to a deliverance. You know what? The school didn't make it. People started falling away. Why? God says, I didn't tell you to call it deliverance. I told you to call it exorcism. I don't care if you don't like the way God speaks. We put down what God says. Are you understanding this? You need to apply that to your very life. However God says it, that's where you have to do it. You don't care what other people think. You have to do what it's obedience. It's obedience. Are we going to... All right, so the weather, bad weather came now. Are we still going to have, how many days are we going to have? I could tell by the voice that you didn't want it to be 14 days. But I said, well, I'll tell you this when it starts again, and I'll have to let you come back to you whenever it tells me. And it was 14 days. Amen? And we're going to go through that. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad we're going through it. I might not be getting my personal stuff done, but I'm sure gaining a lot in the spirit realm. Come on. Number two, is that where I'm at? Number two, intimacy. Oh, no, bound down here. Intimacy with the Father is a starting point for our miracle of provision. So all you new people, you have to get intimate with the Father. You have to sit down and pray with him, pray before. Just talk to him. Just talk to him like you would your friend. Well, don't cuss. But just talk to him like you would your friend. And just tell him what you have need of. Don't tell him what you have need of. Just tell him how much you love him because you're becoming intimate with him. You know how it is when you court somebody, you don't ever tell them what you want. You make them think they're just the best thing in the world. And then finally say, oh, you know what? This is really, really was after. You know. So when you talk to the Father, just tell him how much you love him. And just say, you know, I really don't understand what I'm doing, but she told me to sit here and talk to you, so I'm just talking. Amen. He enjoys that. He really does. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I sit down, I really don't know what to say at times, don't you? I just say, Father, I don't know what to say, so I'm just sitting. I'm just sitting here in your presence. And I just want you to know, though, I love you with all my heart. And I know you love me, Father. So I'm just sitting here because I know what I want to say, but I can't say a word. And I really believe it's the Father not letting me say it because he doesn't want to hear my problem. He just wants me to come in his presence. Amen. I don't know where I'm at all now. Our intimacy with the Father is the starting point for our miracle of provision. When we hear him speak to us and move out in faith upon his instruction, we will be in the right place at the right time for a miracle of supernatural supply. Change your source. Move from self-effort to dependency upon God. Having moved out in faith, Israel had no source of supply other than God. Are you listening? The two boys moved from West Virginia, or Virginia, where they're from. They just moved. They don't have a house to go to. They just moved. Packed a little bag and moved. In faith for the Father. Now watch what Father does to them. In Deuteronomy 11:10, 11:13, 1, God spoke to Israel saying, "The land you are entering to take over is not like the land of Egypt. It's not like the land that you left. From which you have come, where you planted your seed and irrigated it by foot as in a vegetable garden. But the land you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of is a land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from heaven. So if you faithfully obey the commands I am giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then..." See that? "If you faithfully obey the commands I am giving you today to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in a season." Here, God is comparing the resources of Egypt with that of Canaan. The source of Egypt's life-giving water was the river Nile. It was predictable and safe. It was self-sufficient, but a limited means of supply. The Nile's water could be accessed by man-powered irrigation. When the Nile flooded, irrigation would take place naturally, but during the remainder of the year, it was hard manual labor to pump the water into the fields. In Canaan, however, the countryside was primarily irrigated by rainfall and dependent upon those rains coming in their due seasons. The picture is of an entire nation dependent upon the rain. Even their yearly calendar revolved around the seasons and the crops, which revolved around the rains coming in their due seasons. And God made it clear that he was the source of the rain and that he could pour it out and withhold it at will. Are you listening? He said, "Serve me with gladness and obedience, and I will send the rain. Turn away from me, and you will remove yourself from that open heaven. Because you and I were meant to do this together. You were never meant to be alone." Let's read that again. God said, "Serve me with gladness and obedience, and I will send the rain. Turn away from me, and you will remove yourself from that open heaven. Because you and I were meant to do this together. You were never meant to be alone." You'll find that in Deuteronomy 28. You know, I was telling Larry today that, you know, little Isaiah was born when he had that. They took that picture of him in his mother's belly. He was a demon in there. And her and I prayed and prayed and prayed. And when he come out, he was Isaiah. But still, and all those other things are in him. And, you know, I see people in here look at him like, "Why don't you make him sit down? Why don't you do..." You know, I can't make him do something that I can't do. And I said, "God, I see them look at him with, you know, disdain and sometimes with hate." And he said, "God, that's why you have him and nobody else does. Because I could trust you to love him even though he's a troubled child." You know. I said, "Well, now I know he is an assignment." And, you know, I'll look at him and I'll just say, "God, I love this baby so much." He said, "I know you do, and that's why you have him and nobody else does." You know. If somebody else had him, they would abuse him. They couldn't deal with what he does. And so God placed him there until his Father can take care of him. You know, God is awesome. God is awesome. And he will reign. He gives me strength. Because it's a God. You know, this has gotten a little bit too much today when you have three of them. And he strengthens me. And I said, "Brother Larry Dade, please don't let me raise my voice today." And so he's been real quiet. And he'll say, "Now, honey." You know, because once I started raising my voice, I did raise my voice. But, you know, if we just... we have to become a co-laborer with God. So if I'm co-laboring with God while I'm raising him... Until God gets him where he needs to be. He ain't hurt anything running around the church. You know, so you have kids that don't do that. Well, then don't let them do it. But, you know, I can't control that. And I'm not going to put him on medication. I don't believe in drugging up your kids. Because by the time they're 18 years old, their mind's gone. Then you're wondering why they don't know anything. Because you drugged them all their life and took their mind from them. This child is not going to be on drugs because God said he was going to straighten him out. Amen. Become a co-laborer with God is the fourth thing. The life of faith is one partnership and co-labor together with God. You hear that? Even though God sent the manna, the people of Israel still had to collect it, prepare it, and cook it. All right? And remember, they were only supposed to collect enough for that day. And some of them got greedy and hid some in their tents, and it spoiled. Remember that? And it stank. You can find that in Numbers 11, 7 and 9. Even though God sent the rain upon the land of Canaan, the people still had to labor and toil the ground. Likewise, in order to position for God's provision for our lives, we still need to work hard to follow biblical principles and to exercise wisdom as well as faith. We also partner with God through prayer. All right. Number 5, choose the life of faith. It is not easy to live a life of faith. It's not easy to trust God for his supply when he instructs you to step out in obedience to him. It's often said that faith is spelled trust. T-R-U-S-T. Remember that movie where that guy steps out? Never can remember his name. He just steps out into the open air and there's a path there for him to get on. I love that part of that movie. Because that, you know, that shows us that's the way we do with God. God told me if you take that first step, I'll be there with you and I'll walk you through the rest of it. So you have to take that first step by faith. These revivals I hold, I do it by faith. You know? And I'm just trusting God. He called it. He knows who he wants to send in here. I don't care if it's one. I don't care if it's 20. He knows what he's doing. And we just go along with with God's program. All right? It is an amazing thing that having left a life of slavery, many Israelites still crave the provisions of Egypt. You see that in Numbers 11. When the Israelites said, let's choose a leader and go back to Egypt, they were saying, we want safety, we want predictability. We want to do things our own way, in our own strength. We want to be self-sufficient. What are you telling God tonight? What they were saying is, we want safety, we want predictability. We want to do things our way, in our own strength. We want to be self-sufficient. They were really rejecting God himself. Sadly, they preferred bondage with familiarity to freedom and having to go out on a limb to trust God. There's many of you sitting here tonight, your walk is a walk of faith. You just took a step and got out there on that limb, and you're trusting God to take care of you because he asked you to do it. Amen? Number 6, the last one, celebrate God's... Brother Larry had to run this off. He said, 18 pages. I said, well, it's number 14 for one. It's double space. It's not going to take that long. 8, it's number 6, celebrate God's provision. The feast and celebrations of Israel were established around the seasons and the provision of rainfall. Like Israel, we need to mark the moment and celebrate and remember God's supply for our lives, our families, our churches and ministries, and our communities. He is a faithful and loving Father. Get that in your spirit. He is a faithful and a loving Father. I don't care what you went through in life. I don't want to hear that. You're not there now. He was a faithful and loving Father. You can ask him when you go to heaven, okay, why you had to go through what you had to go through. Because I'm not God. But he saw everything he went through. So when you go to heaven, save your questions for him when you go to heaven. I guarantee you won't even ask him. Because you'll be so happy you're in heaven that you'll forget everything you was going to ask him. He is a faithful and loving Father. It is a privilege of sons and daughters to feast at the Father's table. It's a privilege. Come on. And you feast at his table under an open heaven. Come on. You know, you will never know the pain that Jesus really went through in the 33 years he lived. You will never know it. You just won't. Maybe until you get to heaven. But his life was not a bed of roses down here. Well, they rejected me. Well, look, they rejected Jesus the whole time he walked the earth. He's just a carpenter's son. Who does he think he is? He used to be a drug addict. Who does he think he is? You know what I'm saying? You know, why are you looking at the small stuff? There's a larger picture out there. And the larger picture is supernatural encounters with our Father. This larger picture is an open heaven that we can reach up and rend the heavens. Get up there and poke a stick in. I don't care how you do it. Just get the heavens open. So God can rain down the blessings that you need. Now everybody in here tonight that can believe for that God is opening a heaven over you, God wants you to come up here, and He is truly going to drop upon you an open heaven. And then from this night forward, you're going to rend the heavens, and God is going to supernaturally supply your need. So whatever is in heaven, God wants that in your life. He does not want you to live in darkness of any type. Darkness is not in heaven. Sickness is not in heaven. Lack is not in heaven. Come on.